Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Stick around until the end of the episode to hear the trailer of The Athletic's next narrative series titled Luck, where The Athletic's Colts writer Zach Kiefer will bring you Andrew Luck's story like you've never heard it before. He spoke with over 24 people, from Jim Irsay and Bill Polian to Frank Reich and Chuck Pagano to David Shaw and RG3, to peel back the curtain in a way that's never been done before on one of the most unique careers in NFL history. Get all 6 episodes of Luck on The Athletic Football Show feed on Monday, July 11th, wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, everybody working up. Everybody's working.
With that, time's yours.
I'm not sure if everyone listening is immediately going to realize this is true. I'm not even completely sure my two co-hosts on this show are completely confident that they know that this is true. I bet Nate does. Seth might not have even had this hit him yet. Do you know what month it is, fellas?
I just realized this because I almost watched an entire family's demise brought to you by Simply Safe. So I do know what month it is. And, you know, like, I don't even want to discuss said clip. I just know that everyone's seen it, which tells me what month it is.
I that took me a minute to catch that, and now I'm just seeing it over and over. And the way you framed it, an entire family's demise, because those people straight up almost died.
I was
that car does not work anymore.
I was afraid for everybody's health. Like, yes. And again, like, incredible marketing, Simply Safe. So we might want to release this video so that you know that, like, hey, it's mostly for protection, of which we could not afford you any in this scenario, but brought to you by Simply Safe.
We can't help you if you try to blow yourself up with a firework that, honest to God, should not be publicly available. Like, what is that? Like, if you bought enough of those, you could conquer a small country. Like, that's not a firework. That is a bomb. And it's awesome. But
I don't know if you guys saw, there was somebody on Twitch recently who almost lit his house on fire, lighting a Pikachu firework in his room. Oh. And then his mom shows up towards the end. He's yelling for his mom, maybe just to get out of the house because he was not totally on board with what he had just done. The one thing that the social media generation has brought us is absolutely unlimited access to people making terrible mistakes with fireworks. I think in both of these instances, only, you know, some light property damage, so we can joke about it. We're safe there.
that's safe.
Yeah.
As long as you know people are okay. Or more or less, I suppose. Simply Safe did not clarify that, like, you know, the children that you saw venture near the firework at the beginning, they're okay. Because that I was watching, I was like, man, they're awfully close.
It escalated in such a way that I kind of legally, to Seth's point, might want to know is everyone's limbs still intact? Like,
I feel like we would have heard about it, you know, if there had been something unfunny about that video. Other than, yes, again, that car no longer working. It tell you what, guys, if there was something we missed, we'll find out about that about 10 minutes after this podcast is released. We'll all find out together because lots of people will tell us and we'll have to issue a public apology.
Look, it's early July. Hope everybody had a nice holiday.
You still haven't gotten the right answer yet, though, guys. Like, I am disappointed. And you've gotten, like, fireworks, independence,
all of that. It is training camp month, my friend.
Training camp month. Nate, why don't you sound more excited?
I was getting there because I always tell people it's closer. It comes sooner than you think. It's closer than you anticipate. And yes.
It takes longer than you'd expect.
In 2 weeks' time, y'all. Me and St. Joseph are going to get reacquainted yet again.
I have so much to do still.
I know. Same.
I've made it through some of the things I promised to do. I still haven't even reviewed like Josh Allen snaps from the divisional round. Like that's the quiet part of the season
You don't want to do that.
No. The defense. Like some of these touchdowns, it's like to Josh Allen's credit, he did throw the football 30 yards in stride with the receiver, but there was not a soul to be found anywhere within 10 yards of that receiver, which made the throw admittedly easier in some cases. But I promised people I would because I have definitively and without any doubt stated that Patrick Mahomes played the closest thing to a perfect game that is physically possible. And given that Josh Allen was really awesome that game, it's worth comparing. And my readers asked, and I don't take their hard-earned money and not ask or answer. I did not answer questions that are asked of me. So we're charting Josh Allen snaps, my friend.
I mean, whenever it's going to be weird when you drop that in week 7, but I guess we'll take it. Because that's what you guys are experiencing is also what I've been experiencing lately, where late June is like, God, I would fight a grizzly bear for just a droplet of NFL news. And then early July, it's like, oh, God, I'm not ready. Oh, no. I need to pack my St. Joe hat. Like, that's. You know, that's sort of where we're at. I knew it was really time whenever I saw Nate Taylor roster projection on the athletic.com, by the way. Whew. I was like, yo, we're back.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've seen the light again. We're home.
Yeah. It's weird. My body clock, I guess, is still sort of set to like waking up at 6 in the morning to have breakfast at Wimbledon. And then like in 2 weeks' time, it'll be like, waking up to have breakfast at St. Joseph with Missouri Western State University. So, like, it's a weird transition to be like, oh, breakfast at Wimbledon. Like, will Djokovic win the match? You know, what about Nick Kyrgios, who's been, you know, just an amazing storyline throughout the tournament? Poor Simona Halep. Darn it. But now we root for Ange Jabeur. But anyway, like...
Seth, how many of those names had you ever heard before?
I didn't even know where I wasn't even aware that many vowels exist in the
Ange Jabeur.
Never mind, those are all consonants. I don't even know what's happening here. I thought Nate was having a stroke. He's just like, guys, you got to be careful for the sledge. And that's like hey,
you know, and it's okay. Everybody needs time to like get away from what their main thing is, and this is sort of like how I get through it. You know, because I can't play Pokemon, although I did introduce to my son the Spider-Man video game. And ladies and gentlemen, we have might be a slight addiction.
We have a winner. Are you talking about Miles Morales, the PS5 one?
We're going one at a time. So that's coming up next. He's aware of it. He loves the movies. So it was clear.
Which game? Sorry, this is the most.
So we're doing the first one. We're doing the first one.
Okay, but the first PS5 one that broke everybody's brains.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have not played it. We have the PS4, and so the Miles Morales one is coming up next.
Got it. Okay.
So, shout out to Danielle Lehman. I can't say anybody's names right now. There's too many names in my head. But shout out to Danielle. I remember her playing it and telling us that it was going to be great for Hayden. And now we're here and he's, you know, web slinging across New York City. It's amazing.
I'm so excited about this.
It's a lot of
fun. Your behalf and his behalf and the Lord's behalf.
Well, not to Holly's, but it's amazing. Look,
I mean, if Holly has to be the one here who does not benefit from this, I guess that's how it goes. But I'm very excited. Just really, just for a very formative time in young Hayden's life.
Yeah, in young video game gameplay. But look, all I'm saying is, I understand the comments in the article. Yes, it's my first, you know, foray back into swimming, I guess, in the usual waters.
Were people mean in the comments?
No, they were just asking me about Justin Ross, and I was like,
okay.
We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. But all I'm saying is, literally, guys, like, Andy Reid's going to do this in about 10 days' time, and he also, too, will be like, yeah, I just haven't thought about Justin Ross, because, like, it's not football season. Like, I had to put together a 53-man roster, which is, you know, this is probably, and I'll be honest, this is perhaps the weakest one. And that's the hope because, I don't know, I'll see practices. I'll get a real sense. I'll obviously talk to people within the organization. We'll have preseason games to, like, evaluate unnecessarily in a very strong way. But all I'm saying is that, like, he's got a hard – it's hard. It's hard to make an NFL roster. And, guys, like
– it's a tough road to hoe.
Yeah, it's a tough it's a bit tough. But at the same time, I also understand, too, that, like, I have to value guys who have done it before in the early portion. So, like, am I back all the way? No, we all need to get into an acclimation rhythm, period. I'm watching a lot of tennis, guys, and, like, I don't know if Justin Ross is going to be the sixth wide receiver or not. I really don't. And they might not keep six, which is something we will obviously discuss from now up until cutdown day on August 30th. Like, who knows? Maybe they keep five. You know,
that's the time of year it is where you're just, you don't even know how many they're going to keep on the roster. You don't know how guys are going to look. Training camp and preseason, training camp post pads and preseason matter a lot. And just to save you, Nate, I have been stunned at the amount of excitement over Justin Ross, not because I think he can't possibly make it, but it just reminds me, and I'm reminded of this every year, people fall in love with players they haven't really seen or seen much of. Those dudes, like, if you asked, I really believe this, if you asked an average Chiefs fan whether to keep or cut between Justin Ross and Mecole Hardman, I feel like half of them would say keep Ross.
That and can't be true, right?
I mean, I would hope not.
I'm just saying. I feel like, and Hardman is actually a guy I'm going to be talking about a little bit later on a fantasy football thing I'm doing. That, you know, if he falls late enough, he's worth grabbing because he's going to get some cheap targets. But we just love.
Sorry. This is the first time I met Seth Kaiser, fantasy football expert, and I about fell out of my chair. That was wild.
Now, you know, look at the Chief in the North newsletter. We strive to provide whatever content you need.
Drop the big board, man. No, drop the big. Let's do it. Let's really do it. Who's QB7 for you?
Who's QB7? I actually have been told. I had someone say to me.
Is he in the United States Football League?
Yeah. I had someone say to me, because of, like, the amount of film that I do try to watch, and I pay attention to the league pretty closely, obviously, for context with the Chiefs. And I had someone say to me, you are literally leaving money just sitting there by not writing about fantasy football. And I was like, yeah, probably. I don't know. But is it gambling? That's what I need to know.
That's a great point.
But no, I actually.
That's a great point. So I'm looking here at the 90 range, and I think I'm going to have my choice between Michael Thomas and Alan Lazard. Obviously, you know, a chance for a bigger role in Green Bay for Lazard. Michael Thomas coming off an injury. Seth, your thoughts?
My thoughts are that, you know, if I was going to pick between one of the two, Lazard, his only real competition is a rookie that is really unknown with the Green Bay roster. And Michael Thomas has been coming back from an injury, he said with air quotes, for a couple years now, has never proved himself outside of Drew Brees and Sean Payton's system. I would go with Lazard.
Mm. I'm gonna Venmo you a dollar. That analysis was so good.
So I actually have a thought on the time of year it is, because something interesting just happened in the last like 2 minutes as we were starting to record this. This is the time of year where I quote tweet with eye emojis, or actually I just put in parentheses eyes emoji, a Chiefs player just basically sitting with being at some kind of training facility and rolling his ankle around on something. That's what I did today. That's the time of year it is. And then that tweet of that player doing something with his ankles got deleted. That's the time of year it is, because you know how you know it, it's July? Is I find that darn intriguing right now. I'm sitting here like, well, that's weird that they would delete that, isn't it?
Well, look, I mean, we talk about hip flexibility, but not enough about how much can you come back from rolling your ankle in a game? You know, how's those ankles rolling? Are they taped up properly?
Well, then, but here's the interesting thing. This player was George Karlaftis, mm-hmm. working on some ankle flexibility, and apparently we're not supposed to know. Because now it's gone. And I'm just curious. And Josh just Venmo'd me 10 cents.
I rethought it, and I felt like I was overpaying for a dollar, but a dime felt right.
Well, I do tend to offer things for a significantly lesser amount than...
Yeah, I didn't feel bad. That was basically a year to the Chief of the North newsletter, so I thought, you know what, that's good enough. Yeah, just keep it coming. You know, there's more where that comes from.
Thanks, man.
Don't spend it all in one place.
I can't even... I'm sorry. I have nothing to add. I need a second.
So, Josh, how is your summer going?
It's been great, man. I've just been snorting Kevin Durant to the Suns content for like a week and a half now. I'm lightheaded. I haven't eaten in a month.
Well, hey, when they gonna send the big man to Indiana? Okay, let's get this moving. It's July 7th, KD.
I need you to get in touch with your old Pacers contacts and just tell them to hold off on the Ayton thing for a minute, because the Suns and Nets are really not done wasting each other's time yet, and if the Pacers jump the line, it's going to throw off. I'm never going to recover from this, look, one way or the other.
Look, everybody knows Ayton's going to Indiana. It's just tried and true. It's the way this is supposed to work. Poor Timberwolves fans, by the way, who have to live like this. We just got good and we did this? Anthony Edwards has to be now Michael Jordan. Great.
Yeah. Which great. I think he's ready to be. Like, hey. Himself, and I think he looks in the mirror, he's like, yeah, I'll be Michael Jordan. Sure.
Why yeah, not? I'll be like, can we get a series between them and the Mavericks next April?
Yes.
I would enjoy that immensely, you know. Yeah, man. I mean, you know, huge congrats to you. You're like, you know, advancing much faster than probably me and Seth were in our careers at your age. So congratulations to you.
Thanks, man. What a weird compliment.
No, it's I just wanted to get Seth back. That's all.
I'm back. That's true. No, I'm back. You mentioned the Timberwolves. I'm like, hey, they're in my neck of the woods, and apparently they did something stupid.
Yeah, I won't say it's stupid. I just say it's a bit peculiar.
Yeah, that's all.
Is that the, oh, they traded for the dude that people, you know what? I remember, nope.
Yeah.
He was sort of patient zero. I mean, that's sort of like, that's a part of
his. No, they call him the big Corona, right?
Wow.
No, I mean, that's
that's what I'd heard. And look, he's a good player, isn't he?
He's a good player. He's
Sorry, Nate, I love you like a brother, but I need you to shut up for just 1 second, please. Just shut your mouth. What was his name, Seth?
His real name, legal
name. What was his name? What'd you call
him? Gourbet?
Yes,
nailed it. Got it. I sensed a trap, and yeah, no, I you was nailed like, it, "Man, looks a little French."
Yeah, no, dude. It rhymes with sorbet. You nailed it. Anyway, Nate, you were saying about Rudy Gobert?
No, he's a quality player at an age where he probably won't get better, and he can't really shoot in a league where shooting is at an absolute premium. So hey, go out there and defend your you know what's off.
Do you think the Athletic would let us do a basketball podcast that's really just sort of like you really caring, Nate, me caring about one team and a couple other national things, and then Seth just making 90s references and learning the names of players? I think that show's great.
It would be great. It would be. And then trying to explain to Seth why no one wants to play for the Knicks. But hey, you know,
even I'm close enough. I know Matty V well enough to be a little familiar with that. Because you can't have a 2-minute conversation with Matty V without him dropping an F-bomb about the Knicks or the Athletics. he can't help himself. So no, that one I'm familiar with.
Dear listener, thank you. Can I now remind people that by the moment we pressed record on our technology devices, we have now officially entered Orlando Brown Week.
There it is.
I started to
feel the walls closing in. I was afraid we weren't going to get back to Chief stuff at all this show. And I'm tell me about Orlando Brown Week. Happy Orlando Brown Week to you and yours, Nate.
So here we go. I'm not going to try to Brian Windhorse you. I'm not going to try to do it. I'm not going to do it.
Oh, no, please don't. I can't. My heart can't handle it. Man, he was good at that.
I would listen to
that man tell a story about shopping for shampoo and then returning it because it turns out you were allergic, but you lost the receipt.
So look, why would Orlando Brown hire a man who had never represented an NFL client? Why would the Chiefs trade a first round pick and then franchise tag that player that they traded for and then not sign him to a long term deal? Why has there been no updates in the run up to this since about, you know, mandatory minicamp? So I know people are interested. I don't really have anything of significance to offer you. I'll just say it. I don't have it, guys. But I think the odds are still probably in Orlando Brown's favor. And this is the question that I will ask to you, gentlemen. And I think I've referenced it before, and this is for the audience as well, for Chiefs fans. Really think about this question over the next week. Are you ready and or willing to pay Orlando Brown more money than Ronnie Stanley? Because that is where I believe this all lies. And who wins the negotiation in relationship to that contract, which I know you're going to reference here in a minute, Josh, will sort of tell you how the next 7 to 8 days are going to go, with the deadline being on Friday at, I believe, 3:00 Central Standard Time.
Can I just baselessly theorize about one of your hypothetical questions? I just want to float this out there. Do you think that it would all be this level of quiet if things were going poorly? Because my hunch, just sniffing around, would be that I feel like it usually gets public whenever at least one side starts getting desperate or annoyed or unhappy with the direction things are going in. And it has been very quiet since he just simply wasn't at minicamp. There was no, you know, he wasn't out in the parking lot, you know, holding a picket sign or anything. He's just not there. And I feel like in this case, no news might be okay news.
I mean, have we considered the fact that given that he hired a dude that like has no media contacts, maybe they don't know how to leak him being displeased? That's not fair. I'm sorry. I don't know that guy. I'm sure he's good at his job.
My DMs are open, man.
It was low-hanging fruit. Yeah, man. Yeah, I'll leak the daylights out of something. Are you kidding? And no one will believe it if it's me, though, is the one problem.
That's where this show is. This show devolved into Seth's fantasy advice for a dime and then us begging for scoops.
Yeah.
This show used to stand for something.
Did it, though?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Ashtray Aikman.
That was the
video. Yeah, that was the apex. I tend to agree that no news is good news. I mean, the Chiefs are going to always keep stuff quiet. Unless that I've noticed occasionally you'll hear something about unreasonable contract demands, or it's rumor is that player X wants to be the highest paid player in the league and the Chiefs won't budge. Mm-hmm. Something like that. That would be a team leak.
Yes,
like
right.
The heroic team is holding the gap against the evil capitalist, or whatever. Yep. Right. I haven't heard anything like that. So that's nice.
Also, I appreciate you helping me stall, because whenever I got to the page for left tackle contracts, Ronnie Stanley wasn't on it on SpotTrac, and I realized that he is just listed as a tackle. So if you just go to the left tackles, it's not good enough. So the Ronnie Stanley numbers, again, this is signing at the age of 26, five-year deal worth just a little under $99 million, a little under 20 average annual value, mm-hmm. But 64 and change guaranteed at signing, which is the most of any active tackle in football. Presumably that would be the most ever, if I'm not just blanking on somebody. So his yearly rate is a little bit lower than a handful of other guys, but his guaranteed number being at that age as well, that's the gigantic number. Laremy Tunsil signed a year younger than that. He's in that 22 range, and then it's David Bakhtiari and Trent Williams in terms of average annual value guaranteed at signing, or I really like the practical guaranteed on SpotTrac. That's Ronnie Stanley, David Bakhtiari, Ryan Ramczyk, Trent Williams, Lane Johnson, etc.
Yep.
So, I mean, to your point there, Nate, you're saying it's going to have to be around that 5 years, just to sort of round off the Ronnie Stanley numbers. That would be 5 years, 100 million, 20 per year, 65 guaranteed at signing. Now, that would just barely overshoot his numbers in each of those categories.
Correct. And the reason why you would need the fifth year is to make the third year more manageable in some senses, and to protect the player from saying, I can at least get to the third year, knowing that the fourth and fifth year are mostly funny money or to be renegotiated if you are playing at top level at your position. So in terms of getting the number that you want, a fifth year helps the player and the agent because they say, hey, it's $100 million. And for the team, a fifth year can help you in structuring certain things so that maybe that third year isn't as prohibitive of a cost as it would be if it's on a four-year contract.
Since we are kind of stuck in a spot without knowing what exactly the structure would look like, we have an idea, but without knowing exactly what Orlando Brown's camp values or what kind of flexibility the Chiefs prefer, like, do you feel that in the generalities that we're stuck in, that the Chiefs are largely prepared to... prepared to pay him that, honestly. I can't imagine they wouldn't be prepared to be here for the negotiations of it all. They traded for him and franchise tagged him. But what do you think the split is right now? Because last time we talked, it's been a couple of weeks, it seemed like you felt like it could still go a number of ways. And I'm wondering if you think there's a better chance the Chiefs balk or that Browns camp balk.
Ooh, that's a really good question. Look, the player can always... If they're comfortable doing this, and I think they're probably in the minority compared to their peers, but the player can always say, I can get more by playing well this season and getting to free agency. Now, for obvious reasons, there are risks involved. Playing on the franchise tag is sort of a diabolical measure that does not put the onus really on the team beyond that 1 year. From a security standpoint, I think it makes... logically, it makes sense for both parties to get a deal done because the quarterback is comfortable with the left tackle. The left tackle got better throughout the course of the season within the offense, which is different than what he had come from in Baltimore. And Seth has mentioned that before. So it makes a lot of sense to get a deal done. It's just, I really think this was about... October. It was pretty clear to me that Ronnie Stanley's deal was a barometer, sort of a measuring stick, sort of a framework to work off of with the understanding that the cap will go up. But you do want to take that next step. Is he David Bakhtiari, Seth?
No.
Is he Trent Williams?
No.
Is he Laremy Tunsil?
Yeah, I could get there.
And so for Rodney Stanley, because of durability and where he was paid, similar to his age, similar to where he was in his career, as you mentioned, Josh, all those reasons give me the sense that, like, he probably wants to be of that caliber in terms of respect, in terms of pay, and of status in the league, to where he is one of the highest paid left tackles in the league. I don't believe Orlando Brown wants to be the highest left tackle in the league, because I don't think anybody would advising him would suggest that that is actually obtainable at this stage in his career. He is not Trent Williams. So, and Trent Williams has had years to prove that out. And differently from you, Orlando, he reached free agency. So there are slight differences to all these things, but I think comparably, he wants to probably be paid more than Ronnie Stanley's deal.
Anything you want to add there, Seth, before we shift into some other stuff?
I would just say that given his durability, the fact that he's proven and that kind of stuff, giving him a lot of guaranteed money isn't necessarily something I'd be against doing. But man, 70 is a lot.
It's a lot.
Money. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if it allows you to save the money in terms of year by year, sometimes the juice is worth the squeeze there. Orlando Brown, from everything I can tell, seems like a player who cares a great deal about his legacy and cares a great deal. I mean, there's a reason he wants to play left tackle, right? Like, these things matter to him. And I think being Mahomes' left tackle, I was going to take a long road to a short thought, but I know we don't have a ton of time today. I would just say I don't think he's a guy that's going to get paid and then, you know, it'll just be squandered. He's shown that he's an above average left tackle. He's at the same level. Actually, he's at a higher level than Eric Fisher was when Fisher got paid. And I think he's shown that he can perform better against top level competition. Fisher got roughly, it was like a top 7 or 8-ish contract when he got paid, and people were horrified. But I mean, that's just the nature of the business. Yeah. I could live with it. I could live with a high guaranteed number, or I could live with a high yearly number. What I'm afraid is it's going to be both. Mm-hmm. And that just sometimes is what you do, because right now they're in a position to where they know what they're doing at left guard, center, right guard, and hopefully right tackle for like the next 4 years. It would be nice to lock down left tackle too. And the cap is about to do some bananas things, barring, you know, monkeypox being worse than anything else that's come, or something else crazy happening. Monkeypox was one that I heard.
That's out there. It sounds horrible. It sounds like the disease at the beginning of a movie about the end of the world.
Oh yeah, it absolutely does. It's like, you know, until the great monkeypox of 2022. Like that's what you hear in the voiceover at the beginning of a post-apocalyptic movie, right before you cut to some dude walking through the ruins of New York City.
In a series of events scientists are calling unprecedented, victims of monkeypox are beginning to roam around the streets with a vague look on their face, looking for... I'm sorry, what's that sound?
Brains!
Oh my god, we gotta go! That's what I think of.
That's how it always goes. So I do think the Brown story, they're really... What's interesting is that, you know, there's not a lot of, like, drama with the Chiefs right now. And this is basically it, right? Like, I mean... Everything else is just, I guess we'll see what happens with tight end 2 and tight end 3. Yeah. Or, you know, we think MVS and Juju will be, you know, good options. Will they be great options? You know, how will Sky Moore develop as a rookie? Like, those things are all interesting, but, like, there's not, like, drama. And that would be another reason why it'd be nice to get this closed out. Because if he just signs the franchise tag, then that whole year goes by where it's like, okay, gonna have a fight at the end of this year.
Yeah, you're right, Seth. This is it. The quarterback is healthy, so you always think about that. Quarterback's healthy and seems to be pleased with the organization. Head coach, no changes there. I think you know, what is to come over the next 8 days. Following that is, will the Chiefs acquire another defensive end or slash pass rusher? Because I do think that's an option before training camp, or at the start of training camp, somewhere in there. I think that's a possibility. And then will Rashad Fenton participate at some point in camp? Will he be available for preseason? Will he be available week one because he's coming off the shoulder surgery? That's the real surgery that is, at least that I've been made aware of this offseason, that is of significance. And, of course, he didn't really participate in the offseason program or the mandatory minicamp. And the Chiefs are hoping that Rashad, you know, I wrote this today, and I think this is also true as we are getting ready for camp. They're going to try Trent McDuffie on the outside first.
Interesting.
And then sort of see where it goes. Now, Spagnuolo is someone that will tinker quite a bit during training camp. But I think for fans who want a general idea, the two people you should really watch at training camp on the defensive side of the ball that are new is George Karloftis because of the pads and what Seth mentioned earlier with the ankles. And you know, Trent McDuffie kind of being on that island. And I think the hope right now is that Rashad Fenton would be on the other island with Snead being capable and talented enough to be flexible to go inside to outside depending upon matchups, is my understanding as of right now.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You mentioned the edge thing, so I thought I was on the fence about trying to sneak in a little Robert Quinn discussion here, but since you brought it up, do you think that, is he the favorite in that batch of names that you could look at? Do you think it is any one particular guy, or the Chiefs are just going to look for a value before camp or on cut downs? Or what's your feeling on how aggressive that move would be?
All right, now let me do my Brian Windhorst situation.
Yes.
Okay. Why did the Chiefs last year sign Alex Okafor right before training camp?
Well, I don't know why.
Desperation?
Why are my neighbors still shooting off fireworks on July 7th? I don't know if you could hear that or not, but I'm
Now, Alex Okafor at one time was a really, really solid player. Mm-hmm. He did not add much to the pass rush rotation a year ago. He is still, I believe, as of this recording, a free agent. And I mm-hmm. do not believe that he is retiring anytime mm-hmm. soon. Mm-hmm. Would you say that was a successful move a year ago, fellas?
I mean, I would say no. Upon not adding anything and still having it, I think if it was successful, it wouldn't have had to trade for Melvin Ingram. There's my take.
Correct. And, you know, Justin Houston is off the board as of today because he has returned to Baltimore. So why would he do that? Why will Robert Quinn want to attend training camp?
This is when I ask about, like, if Kevin Durant's involved, and you go, no.
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 Why?
Why would the Bears keep Robert Quinn on a roster that is not ready to compete in the NFC North?
They are waiting for an offer that they like. Mm.
So, there are options. I just gave you a few of them. One of which is no longer as of today. But the Chiefs understand in their minds that they're probably one more defensive lineman away. And that will change sort of the number calculus as we get through training camp and the preseason, because as of right now, I have more defensive backs on the 53-man roster than I sort of anticipated. Mm. But that is in reaction to the idea that there's only really 9 to 8 linemen that you can feel comfortable counting on your reliability for a 17-game season. And I know Steve Spagnuolo. He does not want to go through a 17-game season with 8, 9 defensive linemen because, you know, it's a violent sport and you need to rush the quarterback. And we can't blitz on every third down, although he is inclined to want to do that.
Steve's listening to this podcast like, wait, hold up. Why not? Like, what? Give me one good reason I can't blitz on every. They need to get Chris Jones some help. I can't handle another bad faith conversation about him. I can't do it.
Well,
I lack the strength. I know what I must do, but I fear I lack the strength.
Now,
sorry, Nate, I just walked away from my computer, just put my headphones back on. Have you mentioned that this wouldn't be a big of a problem if Chris Jones was better?
No, I haven't. I haven't actually mentioned that.
I just think that's a great point.
But it is an argument that some people have suggested. Now,
technically that is true.
Now,
the things that I can accept, the things that.
Now look, Akeem Hicks was an interesting option at one point in time, but he's no longer an option. Mm-hmm. Why is Ndamukong Suh a free agent?
What? Because he's not going to sign until. Oh, I'm thinking third week of August.
August 18th.
Yeah.
And would you look at that? The boys are packing up the equipment in St. Joseph. How about that?
Yeah.
So look, there are options. I don't know what's really going on in Utah, but what I do know is they are wanting. I'm not saying it's gonna happen because, you know, there are other teams who have needs similarly in the league, but I think the Chiefs want one more player on the defensive line to help rush the quarterback, to at least give yourself some insurance that you're not putting all the pressure on George Karloftis's ankles and you're not asking Frank Clark to give you vintage 2018 from Seattle, you know, menacing production. You know, when he's obviously older and he's coming back from his own disappointments from a year ago. So, Josh and Seth, would you pick Ndamukong Suh, who is available as of right now, free agent, do not have to give up what they would say is an asset, or is Robert Quinn a more attractable option, knowing that, yes, you can have some conversations with Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Chicago Bears, who used to work under Brett Veach.
Give a take on that, Seth.
I mean, I don't think Ndamukong Suh was quite. I mean, I don't know if he was at least average. It can move the needle, and you don't have to give up anything. I'm really hesitant to trade for Robert Quinn. I don't trust those sack numbers at all. Mm. And this is somewhat, you know, I'm always banging the drum for that sacks are often contextual as much as skill-based. When you look at his pressure numbers, they weren't high the way they should be commensurate with that many sacks unless he just got inordinately lucky. And that doesn't mean he can't play. It's just he's not, you know, you're not, in my opinion, grabbing
you know, an elite pass rusher like people might think when they see 18 sacks, right? Yeah. And so that to me, I mean, like in 2020, he had like two. I mean, if you look throughout his career, it's been pretty back and forth there with the pressure rates a little more consistent because pressure is more consistent. So I would just be really, really cautious if I were them in terms of trading away assets.
So George Karloftis, 9 sacks, future betting.
Can I bet on George Karloftis playing 110% of the Chiefs' defensive snaps? I don't know that makes sense mathematically, but it feels right. Here's the one thing I'll add on Robert Quinn. This is also from a tweet from SpotTrack yesterday, that if a team acquires him, they would acquire him at a $13, $14, and $13 million cap hit each of the next 3 years, but that would be basically completely up to the team each year because the Bears would be handling that dead money. So it could basically be on a recurring team option for up to 3 years. So I think that the value of that is a little bit interesting.
Yeah, that is
interesting. I would rather not give up draft picks, and I would rather not have to pay somebody $13 million. But there is not the, oh, we're stuck with this dude until 2024 downside to it, that where the Bears in 2024 in 2023 are going to carry an $8.5 million cap hit with him not on their roster. Just one little bit that I found interesting. Yeah. I would take anyone to just help. I need somebody to get water bottles to George Karloftis. That's what I'm concerned about.
I really want to make that clear. I would take either of them. I think Robert Quinn was better than Frank Clark last year rushing the passer by a fair step forward. So absolutely, I'd take him. I just worry about like I don't think it'll cost that much.
Yeah. Hey, what's your pick cutoff, Seth? What would make you uncomfortable draft pick wise?
Is it the Ryan Poles pick?
That would be the phoniest one for sure.
That's true. The third rounder, right?
Yeah.
Into
the first.
Compensatory. Yeah. Compensatory.
Yeah. I mean, it's an extra pick. It's like spending money that you never really had, right?
We all been there? Where are the stimulus checks at? What a time.
Which, you know, we could talk about the psychology of money that you didn't expect. It's not even real. It's like Monopoly money. Hey, hon, we got bills. You know what else we don't have is a boat. Let's go get a boat. And so I think the third, because of that contract control you have at a relatively cost control, even with his age and everything, the third rounder would be, but I think I'd do it because I really am scared of this pass rush in a bad way. I think the third would do that.
I think here's the thing. Here's just your comparison. Would you trade Leo Chanel for him? That's your third round pick. I think sometimes that conversation gets a little more real whenever you have it attached to a player. You can go back and look at Lucas Niang and Colin Saunders, and you can also say, would you have traded those guys for them?
That's a really interesting way of looking at it, Josh, because you know this team is not in rebuild mode. It is not young players developing over the course of their rookie contracts, and they're all going to sort of blossom together. Your quarterback to help you win championships.
It's been a minute since they've really like hit on a third rounder. Mm-hmm. I mean, last year they didn't have one. But I mean, like, so yeah, you're talking Leo Chanel. We'll see how he does. Lucas Niang, Colin Saunders, Derek Nnadi and Dorian O'Daniel, Kareem Hunt, which is a complicated question.
Kavari Russell?
Kavari Russell. The third round pick who didn't make it to camp. That's unbelievable.
Not your average third round pick. 74. He was 74 overall. Yeah.
No, that's huge. I mean, Chris Conley, Steven Nelson. This is actually, a lot of people might hear me like going through these names and say, wow, the Chiefs are terrible at drafting third rounders. But this is what it's like by the time you get to the third round. And that's why I'd be willing to part with it. The last home run third round pick the Chiefs had, like they got Nyle Davis, who was like, he was an okay contributor to an extent. But their last home run was Justin Houston in 2011.
Travis Kelce in 13, but yeah.
Was Kelce a third rounder?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Holy crap. I thought he was a second rounder based on how I looked at that. Travis, I'm very sorry. Yep. So
63. So that's a very, very, very high third round pick.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, I would part with a third rounder. I wouldn't really go beyond that. And I certainly don't think, I think if a team had offered anything equivalent to a third rounder, I think he'd have been traded already. And so I think a third rounder would certainly do it.
But hey, you know, at least Baker Mayfield's got a home. Like, I think that's when it snapped for me. It was like, wow, I just watched Rafael Nadal do something insane yet again. And, oh, we got NFL news? Baker Mayfield looks at schedule, plays the Browns in week one? So we're kind of back. Hey, did you know, fellas, that Trent Williams is a 99 on Madden? So it'll all start to trickle in.
It's, man, what an example for how fast the league comes at you.
It's crazy.
Because Baker Mayfield was, I mean, he wasn't considered an elite quarterback, but he was considered, like, you know, pretty good, on the rise, you know, a guy that could lead a team in the playoffs, maybe contend, and then just in a very short span. Remember, he was in every single commercial known to man.
He still is, Seth. He still is.
I know, it's so awkward.
Which, by the way, those progressive people have to be like, so he's no longer a Brown. We know this. We knew this. And do we want to shoot in Carolina? Do we know he's the starter? I mean, he's got to beat out Sam Darnold.
You know what we do know about insurance companies is that State Farm's scouting system is inherent so much better than Progressive's.
That's a great point. I hope this show's not sponsored by any insurance companies.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. We just know State Farm.
We do.
Their NFL scouts are on point.
On it. On it.
They only elite quarterbacks at State Farm. Progressive is like they scoured the league.
So what it
said.
So here's a question I have. What did Hurts do? What did Hurts do? What did Hurts say? How did Hurts get this man? How? Okay. And I'm saying this in a complimentary way, Hurts. Not in a negative way. I just want to know what was said. What was said? Because he's charging his body with y'all's equipment.
I had to Google this. I didn't know this happened.
And I'm supposed to say, let's go? Because he says, let's go? I mean,
I thought
Hurts.
You were talking about Jalen Hurts for a second. I was like, boy, I really like. I looked at my phone for 1 second. I was completely lost. Like, hold on. Is it an insurance? Tom Brady did Hurts commercials?
He's above insurance commercials, guys. He's now in car commercials.
Wow.
That's
powerful.
And not like Lexus. I'm talking Hurts.
Hurts.
Talking, get that airport money. Get that weekend money. Get that vacation money. Get that I may not return this money. I mean, it's impressive on both sides, Hurts and Mr. Brady. Congratulations. I enjoy those commercials probably more than I should. And the further we get away from the progressive ads with Baker Mayfield, the more I will probably appreciate them again.
I gotta go hit the film room on these.
They were everywhere. And look, I'm waiting to see where Josh Allen's gonna go next. I mean, like Josh. I mean, Josh Allen, where you at, man? I mean, who you gonna rep?
Is he done? I'm looking right now. I'm Googling Josh Allen commercials and seeing if there's anything that I've just missed here. There's gotta be an insurance company that is ready to give Josh Allen a huge, huge, huge pile of money.
Farmers Insurance, let's go.
Step up. Nationwide, step up. Step other up. Insurance companies that I do not believe are sponsoring this episode of this show, step up. Want to be sponsored by Times Ours? I'll send you 10 cents on Venmo. Step up. Me? I don't know. Look, we gotta wrap this up shortly, and Seth just did the Batman thing where he throws down a smoke bomb and then just disappears into the shadows.
What?
I don't even know that you, I might have just broken that news to you too. Your jokes weren't bombing with Seth. He just wasn't here anymore. I was going to make him throw the teaser out there, but you should go check this out up in the newsletter, mnchiefsfan.substack.com. He's got a whole film review over Patrick Mahomes' 2021 season, and then also just recently dropped a Jody Fortson review, False Hope or Legitimate Promise.
Playing to the audience.
Headline. Listen here. Listen here. If you've been a Times Ours listener for more than one episode, you had to go, you know, read the story, but you already know that Seth's not about to hit this man with false hope. No chance.
Chance. I mean, come on.
Chance. Look. Are you kidding me?
Seth, I'm going to text Seth to listen to this part, but like he uses a clip from the Washington game and I remember it as if I'm still in FedEx Field's press box. Where they had him in a one-on-one running a slant, and he was so wide open, which makes it worse because, like, literally 30 minutes later, he was being pulled off the field on a stretcher, unfortunately, with a season-ending injury, which he has quickly returned from in a very impressive way, and I'm sure we'll talk to him pretty early on into training camp. But, man, like, there are matchups to be had, and that's pretty much Seth's entire article.
We said it's training camp month. That's true, but it's also fourth season.
It also is fourth season.
Remember,
we were getting hyped because Jody Fortson was coming across the formation, wiping out defensive ends. Who, by the way, don't know if he made the Arizona Cardinals roster. Have no clue. But he removed man from play. And, you know, that's how he won the job. Other, you know, beyond one-handed catches and, you know, just wild athleticism.
Watched the block again.
Oh, it's so good. But, like, guys, we are less than a month? We're about a month. We're probably less than a month from real pads on football fields. Like, confrontations, kerfuffles,
it's kerfuffle season.
Like, we're so close from like Andrew Wiley having to be like, guys.
First preseason game, August 13th. It is rapidly approaching, friends.
Yeah.
Chiefs Bears, by the way. The Robert Quinn game. They can just drop him off. Or I guess the Chiefs can just take him home with them.
It reminds me of the scene in Moneyball when they're like, I don't want to, like, just send him across the hallway. Just, we don't, I don't want to play against him tonight. So just bring him across the bullpens.
God, so good. All right. Last thing from you, Nate, and then we got to get out of here. Was there anything else that from your roster breakdown? Again, people, if you want to see all the names, then you got to go look at the story. I'm not going to sit here and read you the full 53. But you talked about the pass rush in the corners a little bit. Was there anything else that you got to and you're like, oh, this, you know, this guy missed the cut in the numbers game? Or, oh, I'm kind of surprised this guy made the cut, or a little hype you've bought into?
Yeah, it's something that I referenced, and I think fans should kind of have this sense, if you are going to go up to St. Joseph, which by all means, please do. It's a wonderful time. I think the first, let me look at this again, just so I can do the public service announcement. The first full practice of the entire team that is open to the public for you to watch for free is July 28th. So, you know, when you get there, either on that day or moving forward afterwards, The thing that I figured out as I wrote this, Josh, is that I'm more intrigued about running backs than I am receivers. And the reason for that is because just adding one more player to the group, kind of like we talked before about defensive linemen, can really, you know, shift the conversation. And with the Chiefs adding Jerick McKinnon back, who, by the way, savvy veteran move. I only sign when they're already done with the mandatory mini camps.
Yep.
So, like, I ain't got to do that. You know, I'll just show up when it's camp time. But look,
Sancho. Yep. See you in the dorms.
See you in the dorms.
Save me a bunk bed.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, but he was a real, like, contributor last year. Like a real playmaker, particularly in late December, early January. So, with Ronald Jones and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Little Poppy and Derek Gore. Don't forget about Derek Gore. Mm-hmm. One of those guys is not making the team. And that kind of makes me sad.
Yeah.
Because I think Michael Burton is on the roster, guys. Like Andy Reid, if he has a fullback, uses the fullback. So Michael Burton, you know, I would be shocked if he didn't make the 53-man roster. So that usually means that you have four running backs to work with as you open up the season. And I would like to see Isaiah Pacheco in a preseason context, how many of those reps he gets, how many of those snaps we see. Some of that could be squashed a bit just because, you know, you might see more Derek Gore than him. You know, there are other undrafted quality players at the position. And so I think we pretty much know who the top four are at wide receiver, which is MVS, Juju, Hardman, and Sky Moore. I don't know who the four are at running back. And so that's why I believe running back is more interesting for me this year than receiver.
I'm just going to say this the one time about Michael Burton. He seems wonderful. You know, I'm pro fullback, generally speaking. He played 94 snaps offensively for this team last year in the regular season. That's less than Derek Gore, Mike Rimmers, who I'm guessing some people forgot was on the team last year, Jerick McKinnon, Josh Gordon. When did Josh Gordon get into the fold, Nate? Don't think it was a huge part super early. That's fewer snaps than Noah Gray got right. last year.
Right.
I understand that Andy Reid's always going to roster a fullback, but this dude played 17 more snaps than Nick Allegretti did last year. He played a lot of special team snaps.
Yep.
Just wonder if maybe Noah Gray could get those and we can, you know, he also played a lot of special team snaps, but maybe Noah Gray could be your fullback a couple of times and you could, or just Blake Bell. I don't know. And maybe give yourself a roster spot. I don't, that's, you know, that's what I would do, but you haven't asked me. So I'll just sit over here and twiddle my thumbs.
Yeah. So
I get it. I'm just going to keep, you know, bringing that stat up.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense, especially in a league where passing is, you know, seems to be important.
Seems important, yeah. all right, well, so there you go. If you want to read what Seth has on Patrick Mahomes last season and on Jody Fortson and what he might bring this season, you can go check that out in the Chief of the North newsletter, mnchiefsfan.substack.com. And Nate's work, of course, all up on The Athletic. What I honestly do, sometimes I'll just start typing theathletic.com/, and it'll take me straight to Nate's author page. You go theathletic.com/author/Nate-Taylor. That's a frequently visited way of doing it for me personally. Woo! So you can do that there as well. And yeah, as you mentioned earlier, I'm moving from nights to middays to co-host The Zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WSB.
Yeah, baby.
Starting in a little over a week. So Whoa! Excited about that. Last AES will be next Monday. And then I'm off. Then I'm immediately off for four straight days. And then I start on The Zone on the 18th. So, we just got irons in the fire out here. And that's that. What else could you ask for other than a bunch of irons in the fire right into training camp? We're going to be just as hot as the St. Joe sun by the time that gets there. All very sweaty. Very sweaty tent.
Guys.
But, looking forward to it.
It's hot here.
Yeah.
It's going to be even hotter up there, which doesn't really make sense, even though they're north of Kansas City. But it makes sense for training camp. Sometimes.
It just is.
Sometimes I've looked at my mobile device and it has told me it's hotter in St. Joseph than it is Kansas City, and I go, why do they do this? Why, God? And then, you know, there are times where, look, hey, if Justin Ross makes the practice squad, that is not a failure of Justin Ross. It is the situation that he might be in. I am not trying to truncate or squash or diminish the Ross hype. Clearly, if he does something in camp, I will tell you about it. I just, it's okay. I could be wrong. Josh, last year, I put Laurent Duvernay-Tardif as the starting right guard because I like to just give the veterans the chance because they've done it before. Sure. And then on the literal first rep of training camp, there was Trey Smith. And you said, well, you know what? I'm going to have to change this. So it's a fluid projection. It changes. Guys rise, guys falls. And wow, 2 weeks' time, we're going to start to actually do that. So, I don't know. I don't know, Josh. I'm just going to go back, swing across New York City with my kid, and hope that, you know, perhaps the next time we'll all talk, Orlando Brown will have a deal or won't have a deal, and we'll try to make all, you know, make the sense of it all. But, wow, it's great to be back, and I'm sweaty, and I'm inside my own house in air conditioning because I'm just thinking about training camp.
And now here's the trailer for The Athletic's next narrative series titled Luck. We peel back the curtain in a way that's never been done before on one of the most unique careers in NFL history. Get all 6 episodes of Luck on The Athletic Football Show feed on Monday, July 11th, wherever you listen to podcasts.
At the center of one of the greatest what-ifs in NFL history is one of the greatest quarterback prospects of all time. What if the Colts had protected Andrew Luck?
It's amazing that the Colts could move on from Peyton Manning, and nobody really blinked.
The reason why Andrew turned around the Colts and turned around Stanford was that beast inside of him that would look at the opposing team and saying, I'm going to kill you today.
My encounters with him were unlike other encounters I would have with quarterbacks. He could have been a thoracic surgeon. He could have been anything.
I don't think there's ever been a smaller gap between someone's floor and their ceiling.
If it's 1 to 10, he's a 10 in every category. There's Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, it's all wrapped up in one.
High end, he's a Hall of Famer. Low end, he's a multi-year Pro Bowler. Like, I can't see there's any way this guy doesn't succeed.
I just remember him saying, Jacoby, like, this is going to sound weird, but can you hit me on the sideline? Because I need to feel the game right now. I don't think I'm supposed to hit you.
When Andrew, it was very secretive. Seeing all the treatment he would go through, see all the hits he would endure. It was like, man, I know you have to be injured.
He gets sandwiched between two linebackers at that moment. He has a ruptured kidney, the sort of injury you sustain in a car crash, basically.
I never knew what the hell was bothering me until all this news came out. And it was like, oh, wait, he was suffering from this? It was all news to us.
If the people that succeeded us had put a team around him, as we did with Peyton, the results probably would have been the same.
Andrew Luck has become a cautionary tale for any team with an up-and-coming quarterback who doesn't have protection.
I remember both of us having a moment where we both were teary-eyed going, man, this beautiful, beautiful player is not going to play anymore.
I'm Zach Kiefer from The Athletic, and I'm the host of a new podcast series called Luck. It's the Andrew Luck story as you've never heard it. The series looks to answer this question. How did the greatest quarterback prospect since John Elway, the very player the Colts moved on from Peyton Manning for, end up walking away from the game before he was 30 years old? All 6 episodes will be released on July 11th. Look for Luck on The Athletic Football Show podcast feed wherever you get your podcast, and listen to Luck ad-free on The Athletic app.